Crazy it seems to have a dream to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and share it with people in their communities. Happy New Year! How are you? How was your New Year's? Did you get to go out? Did you go out? Did you just celebrate it at home? Did you celebrate it at all? I don't know. I'm getting a little New Year's backlash already, where folks are like, doesn't feel any different to me, but it does to me. There's always hope with New Year. You know, I don't know. There's something optimistic that I always have about that. And it's still lasting. I'm hanging on to it as long as I can. So I hope you're well. You know, I saw all the busy bakery posts on Instagram and even some of the discussions on the Bakers for Bakers forum and all of that in the rush, in the busyness leading up to Christmas and then the little mini bump maybe that you might get leading up to New Year's. And I just saw a lot of beautiful baking and a lot of effort and a lot of energy and a lot of camaraderie and teamwork, you know? Like no martyrs, just heroes in my books. You know, and some folks were dealing with pretty crazy weather too, like big snowstorms on the East Coast and heavy rains on the West Coast and all of that. And no matter where you are or what you were, your holiday season, your December was like, I hope you had a really good time and I hope you baked a lot and hope you were able to take some time for yourself as well. You know, for me, it was weird. It was strange. It was a decent holiday, but it was odd, you know, just being at home alone, or just Cindy and I. You know, I wrapped up my commitments for the Story Skills workshop on the 18th, which was also Cindy's last day of school. And then we had time off right till the 4th of January. And we were bound and determined. I was bound and determined to take a proper break, you know. And I tend to, when I'm not working, I worry about work. And when I'm working, I worry about other stuff. But I said, okay, I'm taking a proper break here, and Cindy's off school, and we're gonna have a proper break, even though we had to stay home because of travel restrictions and all of that because of the pandemic, and it sort of worked. You know, we spent most of our time, if we weren't out for walks, on FaceTime and Zoom. You know, our daughter Robin, who you hear every podcast episode because she's the one singing the intro. She's teaching school in England. I've mentioned that before. She's actually in Kent, in Canterbury, teaching school, and Kent has a special place in my heart. Because that's like the hotbed of COVID in England, especially in December, and especially that new, you know, super contagious strain of COVID, like. It was kind of in Kent, where she lives and works. So, of course, you know, she was fine up until she got her holiday break and then was instantly sick. And so we spent a lot of time FaceTiming and, you know, making sure she was able to go get tested. And she'd already had a couple of tests. But, you know, this go round, yeah, she actually had COVID, had a fever and had a bad cough and had a lot of headaches and that kind of thing, but thankfully it didn't get any worse than that. And so, you know, we'd FaceTime for hours. We're 8 hours apart in time zones and that. So we'd stay up late and talk to her in her morning and then get up early and talk to her in her afternoon and early evening and that kind of thing. And, you know, we did everything that technology would allow to try and keep her company because she had to self-isolate through the whole thing as well, right? So, you know, she couldn't go out, or even, you know, her one really, really good friend couldn't come visit, and they had plans to spend Christmas together, just the two of them and all of that, and none of that happened. So, you know, we did what we could. We watched movies together on Zoom. Honestly, it was the craziest thing, like get a Zoom session going, share your screen, start a movie and watch the movie together. We went on a tour, a walking tour of Victoria, because they run a really cool contest and display here for gingerbread houses, really elaborate gingerbread houses. And this year, because of COVID, they moved where the gingerbread houses were to all the hotels around downtown in their front windows. So you could stand outside and look at them through the window. And there's a little walking tour. So Cindy and I did that on a very sunny day just before Christmas. And we did the whole thing on FaceTime. So we had Robin sitting in the dark on the phone as we, you know, walked the streets and showed her all of these gingerbread houses. And it worked really, really well. And we'll see what our cell bill looks like when it comes back. But I don't really care. That was fun, you know. And so she actually has not been out here to Victoria since we moved out here. She was already in England. So we got to show her sort of where we live for the first time, which was kind of cool. And then we did this thing, this other thing called Rockstar Bingo. I don't know if you've heard of this one, but it's bingo, and it's Name That Tune all bundled up into one. And y'all get on Zoom and you use this little app to get these funky bingo cards based on a playlist that you've created. And then you have to listen to the songs and try and figure out what the songs are and check off your bingo card and that. And we did a transcontinental one of those with our son in Vancouver and relatives in Calgary and grandma back home in Saskatchewan and Robin in England and us out on the island. And it was fun. It was okay. Although I was told later I did not pick a single song that was written or produced after Robin was born. So, oh, what you gonna do? I like the oldies, I guess. But, you know, so we made the best of it. You know, I guess is the thing. We did the best we could. We tried to stay connected with people, but it was all, you know, through the technology. Kind of like what we do here, right? Try to stay connected with people as best we can when we can't always be together. On good days, it's because we're working. On bad days, it's because we're not allowed. So I did some podcast planning. I actually did. Got a little bit of planning done for 2021. You know, not much, but some. The good news is I've got a lot of guests lined up for conversations over the next few weeks, and I'll be kicking those off next week with a brand new conversation, brand new interview that you're really, really going to like. And I've got a better process in place for sending out invitations and tracking them. So I hope we have what they say in sales terms is a pipeline. I hope we have a bit of a steady stream of conversations to share with you this year. Because as much as I love sharing them with you all, I love having them. So it helps me out too. I didn't have as many conversations with bakers last year as I would have liked. So I've got some plans in place and some habits set up. So we're going to have more of these. And I've got a couple of ideas for more interaction with you all as well, like the loyal listeners, right? Ways that we can chat with each other and have conversations and talk back and forth and that kind of thing. So stay tuned for that one. I'm still working out the how on that, but I have some ideas about what we can do. All right, on to the main part of the show. It's January, it's a new year, and in the bakery world, at least up here in the north, that's an opportunity for maybe a bit of a break and some reflection and some planning, you know, because our customers are off making crazy decisions about gluten and resolutions about, you know, limiting their pastry intake and stuff. And it takes a couple of weeks for that to pass. It always does. And maybe your staff is taking a break, you know, after a very busy December. Maybe you're taking a break too. That's awesome. You know, we used to do that at our bakery every January. We would be open New Year's Eve and then close from New Year's Day for like a week and a bit up until like the next Friday. We would reopen on Friday because that was always kind of busy, you know, so it was get about 10 days off. And, you know, in the good years, Cindy and I would fly out to Victoria, or where I am now, and wander about and visit all the bakeries here that, you know, a lot of them were also closed for exactly the same time. So we'd look through windows, but, you know, go to the bakeries and get inspired and you know, eat like as much as we could and walk around in the rain and all of that stuff. And after a couple of days of that, just sort of soaking in different businesses and different bakeries and all of that, pretty soon we'd start talking about our place, start talking about Orange Boot Bakery and kind of like, okay, how are we really doing? And what do we want to do in the next year? And what do we need to fix? And that kind of thing. And so, you know, January is a really good time for that because business is kind of maybe a little bit slower and maybe there's more time in your day, whether you are closed for a bit or not, to sort of reflect a bit and to plan out some objectives or maybe some projects for the year ahead. And I talked about this a bit last year, and I described the system that we used at Orange Boot Bakery that was based around the E-Myth group and sort of that E-Myth Revisited book and that kind of thing. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit on this episode. But I'm also going to share with you some new ideas that I got through some holiday reading. I read a new book by an author that I've talked about a lot already, and he's got some interesting insights into figuring out sort of what's the next thing to work on and how to keep the business side of your bakery moving forward. So we're going to talk about that as well. So that's really what this podcast is about. I'm calling it the Plan Cast because it's January. It's time to plan. So if you have a notebook, a little notebook or something, or a piece of paper while we're going through this, might not be a bad idea to have one of those. I'll wait for a bit. If you're out on a walk or you're working at the bench or that kind of thing, maybe if you're working at the bench, maybe just put a little bit of flour down so you can scroll stuff in the flour if something comes up here that you find especially interesting. And if there's sort of something that you want to drill into a little bit more, let's do that over at Bakers for Bakers. And we'll talk more about that at the end. But all right, you ready? Let's get into planning 2021 at the bakery. Okay, so no matter what method you use, what are we really trying to get out of this planning session? Especially, you know, this sort of start of the year, long-term business development planning kind of thing. What you're really trying to do is take a step back from the bench, take a step back from the day-to-day, and look at your business as a whole. Look at it from, you know, this high-level view and say, how are we doing? Maybe my bread is great. Maybe my baking is excellent. Maybe my customers are happy, but do I have a business that works here? And is it really working for me? Is it working for my employees? That kind of a thing. And the best way that I found to do that is to think of it sort of one section at a time or one chunk at a time of the different components of your business and do a little bit of an assessment and say, how are we doing here? Are we doing well or not? And I talked about this a lot last January in the business development planning podcast that I did about a method that we used at our bakery in January to do this. And we used a method that was developed by the folks at E-Myth, you know, the Michael Gerber book that everyone's read, that E-Myth Revisited. It's sort of a classic for small businesses. And there was a coaching arm of that book that was created. And they had this sort of three-step process to say, look at your business across seven areas and rate how you're doing. And so those seven areas, and I talked to them in a lot of depth in the other episode, but those are leadership, branding, finance, management, or what I'd call employees, delivery, I'd call that production, sales, and marketing. Okay? And those seven areas, you take a look at them and you give yourself a score. How are we doing in that area? Both in terms of, you know, say with something like finance, it's like, well, do I have money in the bank and do I have good cash flow? Like you get a good score for that. But do you also have good management systems in place, good controls in place so that you know how you're doing at any point in time and it doesn't take you like a week of figure out if you made a profit? You kind of just know because you've got the systems in place. And so, you know, in each of those areas, you're thinking like, well, are things happening well? Yes. Do I have good systems in place? Yes. Well, then I get a really good score. Okay. And if you don't have a really good score, those are the areas that you want to focus on in the year ahead and try and bring that score up. And so you start thinking about, well, what do I need to do to bring that score up? And it's a neat exercise to do that. And it's a really good exercise if you have like a partner or, you know, or get your employees to help you do it, but to do a couple assessments independently from each other. So in our case, you know, Cindy and I were business partners. So I would do the assessment and she did the assessment. And then we sat down and started comparing notes. And it's a real eye-opener to say, hey, here's two areas where we really agree. Maybe here's an area where we disagree. Maybe I'm always consistently lower than she is because I'm a gloomy Gus and she's more realistic. Or maybe, you know, I think we're doing really, really well from a sales point of view and she doesn't think we are at all, right? And so that's a good conversation and the conversations are what's really important. And so then anyways, you do this assessment in these areas. You have a list of here's things that we need to work on. In our case, we put them up on huge paper charts on our walls in our basement because we didn't have any parties anymore because we had a bakery. So we just used the walls for business planning. And then we could take a look at it and say, okay, now I'm going to start working on these things. But where it kind of fell down for me was that we didn't know what should we work on first. You know, what's the most important thing to work on out of this list of maybe a dozen things that we should work on in the next year? And just this winter, I've been reading a new book called Fix This Next by a guy named Mike Michalowicz, who's the same guy that wrote Profit First, which I have raved about several times on the show. And he tries to answer that question of what to do next. So if you've got your list of things to work on, what's the one that you should work on first? And I think it's really interesting. And I think it applies really, really well to small businesses like bakeries. And so similar kind of process. We're going to look at different areas of the business and we're going to give scores and are we doing okay or not. But a couple of twists that he does that he suggests that you do, I think is really helpful and solves that problem of what do I work on first. And so I want to take you through that a little bit. Fix This Next. Conceptually, it's built on a thing called the theory of constraints. And I don't know if you know about this. It was a book that I read, 30 years ago, back when I was at SaskTel. There was a book called The Goal by Ellie Goldratt. And it was about he called it the theory of constraints. And it was set in a manufacturing, like factory. It was a bit of a story, you know, set in this manufacturing world with like heavy machines making products and shipping them out the door. But the basic premise was that in any system, there's one process that is the bottleneck. It is the thing that controls how much you can get through the system. And there's only ever one thing at any given point in time. And so your goal as the leader and owner of the system is to find that bottleneck and fix that, make that better. And if you make that better, then the entire system is better. And then your throughput is better through the whole system. And so it's always figuring out what's that bottleneck and fixing that, right? And so another example of this theory of constraints is if you're on a hike, you know, and there's, you know, 10 of you on a hike and you're all walking at different paces and different speeds, and it does not matter how fast the fastest people are or even how fast the medium people are, the entire group doesn't get done until that slowest person gets through the hike. And so you may as well put the slowest person at the front because you're not all getting done until that slowest person is done, right? And so if you can take that slowest person, help them be faster, then the whole group is faster, right? So maybe you carry their backpack for them, or that kind of a thing, or make sure they always have good snacks to keep the energy up, but keep them going, right? And so same kind of thing with your business. You've got all these different areas of your business, but there's one that's slowing you down. There's one that's the most important thing that you need to work on first. And so the planning assessment that Mike talks about in Fix This Next has built in a priority to it. And so I'm going to take you through this a little bit because it's actually kind of cool. With the E-Myth example that I shared, there were 7 major areas, but they were all kind of at the same level. You know, like there wasn't one that was, you know, the most important or the least important. They're all sort of equal. Here, he's got an actual hierarchy, and it's almost is like a pyramid, like a hierarchy of needs, right? And that the first level, that's the foundation. And if you don't have the first level working, there's no point working on stuff in the second level. And if you don't have the stuff in the second level working, there's no point working on stuff in the third level. You know what I mean? So it kind of builds on each other. And so his levels from bottom to top go like this, and there's five of them, right? And so that the bottom level is sales, right? And so do you have cash coming in? Do you have products going out, cash coming in? Are you getting paid? Do you have cash in the bank? Do you have consistent cash in the bank? Because if you don't, then there's no point working on more higher level stuff. You're going to go broke. Your biggest thing right now is, are sales happening consistently? And if they are, then the next level is what he calls profit, right? So do you have consistent cash on hand, consistent surplus called profit that you can invest in new things when you need to? So you know, do you have the stability that you can start thinking seriously about, well, maybe I should buy something new, or maybe I should hire a new employee, or that kind of thing? Because if you don't have that stability of cash flow and that stability of profit, hiring more people is not going to fix that, right? The next level up is called order. And this is really where you get into systems, right? So, you know, if you have consistent sales, and if you have stable profits, then we can start talking about how efficiently are you running, and do you have the systems in place to run more efficiently? And in a lot of cases, start taking yourself as the owner out of the equation a bit, right? And here's where you can start saying, well, maybe I don't have to do every single thing. Maybe I don't have to shape every single baguette. Maybe I can train someone to do that for me, and I can work on other things. But again, you need to have that foundation in place before you can spend the brain power to work on systems and efficiency. And then the last two levels above are, I think, where we all want to be when we get into business. He calls them impact and legacy, right? And so, you know, if the first three, sales, profit, and systems, if that is sort of designed to get your business, you know, consistently generating money, generating profits, making good products, that kind of thing, then you can get to the point where, is my business making the world a better place? You know, that's the impact. You know, why am I really doing this work? It's, yes, I want to make money, and yes, I want to make a good living and that kind of thing, but really, I'm building this thing to make my community better, to make the world a better place. You know, and good Lord, through the conversations on the podcast, you've heard so many bakers talk about why it is that they're doing this, and why, what's the real impact that they want to have in the world. And I know you have that as well. But Mike's premise is there's no point in going broke trying to have this impact, and starving while you're trying to have this impact. Get the foundations in place so then you're in a good position to have that impact that you want to have. And then the last one that he calls legacy is about, you know, will your bakery continue to have that impact that you want it to have when you're gone, when you're retired, when you've passed on, when you decide I'm not going to bake anymore, but this bakery continues on without me, whatever it happens to be. You know, are you building something really for the future and not just for your future? And so that's his hierarchy of needs. And I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, I want, there's one sticky point, this idea of impact being sort of the fourth level, and that you have to get the other stuff in place before you have impact. He's not saying that, you know, you should do everything dirty and nasty and bad until you have good profits and then clean it up so you have a good impact. He's saying you can't invest all of your time and energy on the impact side if your business isn't fundamentally working. That's the thing. Because he says, because you'll go broke. You will go broke. You'll always be broke. You'll never be able to hire anybody. You're always going to have this debt over your head. And that is all going to pull on you, so you can't have the impact that you want. So let's get that in place up front so that you have the time and you have the energy and you have the ability to have the impact that you really want. So that's this thing. It's like, so in Mike's model, there are five areas in each of these five levels that you can look at when you're doing an assessment. And he suggests you do the whole assessment. Look at, you know, all five levels, all five questions. So 25 questions, answer them all. Are you doing it? Aren't you doing it? Is it working? Is it not working? But when it comes time to decide what to fix, go to the bottom of the pyramid first. Work on the things that you have to work on at the sales level to say that those are all working, and then work on the things that are gaps at the profit level, and then work on the things that are gaps at the order level, and so on, all the way up the pyramid. And that's, for me, that's kind of the missing link compared to what I was doing with eMyth, because with eMyth, I would say, here's my seven areas of the business, and here I'm doing okay in this, not as good in these three, but I'm doing pretty good in these four. But out of the three that I'm not doing very good at, I'm really kind of going with my gut as to what to work on first. And I think Mike's method here is much more practical in terms of saying, do that whole assessment, see where you sit, say out of these 25 questions and 25 areas to look at, I'm doing great in 14 and I'm doing bad in 11 and I need to do better in 11. But of those 11, I'm going to fix the two that are down on sales first, and I'm going to get that working better. And because Mike's a practical guy, he also has this really cool model of when it says fix the problem, you know, you say, oh yeah, go fix that thing down in sales. He has a little acronym for making the fix, and he calls it OMEN, which is objective, measure, evaluate, and nurture. And so, you know, if you say, well, I'm going to go fix this area in sales, actually, what is the, write it down. What is the thing that I'm trying to fix? And how am I going to know if it's better? And how often am I going to evaluate to see how I'm doing? And once it's working, how do I make sure it stays working? That kind of a thing. And he's got some really good tips on engaging your employees to be part of those fixes as well, because it's not all on you to fix it. Maybe it's on you to identify, hey, I think like we have a problem here. How are we going to fix it? What's the right thing to measure? And getting everyone on board, that's something that you need your team with as well. So I don't know. These ideas really appeal to me. I think they'll appeal to you too. So yeah, so it's a bit of a book recommendation, but really it's more of a mindset recommendation here for planning out 2021. Is to take a look at the whole business again. But when you're evaluating things, when you're deciding what to work on, really drill down into what am I trying to do with this thing? What am I trying to accomplish here? And is it something to just build the foundation up and say, okay, I'm just trying to get the cash coming in properly so that I can be comfortable that I'm going to have money in the bank at the end of the month. And then, you know, I'm generating consistent profits and my product margins are good and that kind of thing. So that I know that if my sales go up, my profits also go up, that kind of a thing. And then looking at efficiencies, looking at systems, looking at documentation, looking at employee overlaps and assignments and stuff so that nobody is, you know, sort of the main cog that if this person is sick for a week, the entire business fails, that kind of a thing. And then start, you know, and then when that is running well, really dig into, say, okay, everything's running great. I can spend the vast majority of my time on social impact and community impact and all of the real reasons I got into business in the first place, and so on and so forth. So I think it's a really smart thing to do. I think it's a good way of thinking about things. I think it's a good way of setting priorities for what you're going to work on in the year ahead. And so I invite you to check it out. I'm going to put some links into the show notes to that book that I was telling you about, Fix This Next, and also some free resources that he's got on the internet. I'm not doing this episode to pitch a book, especially a book that I, you know, like that I read, and I don't know the guy and I don't know the author. And so I'm not, you know, really given a big push that is like, oh, you got to buy his stuff. But I know that Profit First really helped me get my head around the financial side of things, sort of the last book that he wrote. And this Fix This Next really kind of unpacked a couple of problems that I lived through and worked through with my bakery in terms of setting priorities and really understanding what it is that I need to focus on. And that's really what January planning is all about. It's deciding, it's taking that deep breath and deciding, what is it that I'm going to focus on? So I hope you found this helpful. And I hope you check out Mike's writings. And I hope that we can continue this conversation, not in theory, but in reality, over at Bakers for Bakers. Let's get serious about this. Let's dig into how your bakery's set up and how you're measuring things today. And let's, maybe we can work on these assessments together and work through this stuff, because, you know, it's good work to do, and this is a good month to do it. So I would hope that you don't kind of say, yeah, it's a good thing to do, and then all of a sudden it's Valentine's Day and you realize you didn't really do any planning yet. You know, this is the time to do it. Let's take a few hours and let's really dig in. And I'd love to help you do that over at Bakers for Bakers. So that's the show for this week, Planning Cast. I hope you got something out of this. I hope you got some ideas, some thoughts, some inspiration to sit down, fix yourself a coffee, and really kind of think through all the aspects of your bakery as you set up for 2021 ahead. You know, if you're still here and still baking at the start of 2021, after all of the craziness that happened in 2020 and all of the quick switches and adjustments and changes that you had to make to keep afloat with the pandemic and everything that was going on this past year, you know, you've got what it takes. Like, you really do. And so instead of having to adjust and kind of panic and, pivot at the last second, it really helps to say, here's my plan. I know where I'm going. I know what I need to work on. And come what may in the world around us, I know where I'm headed. And I'm going to keep on going down this path. So keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. The bakeries that are out there in the world are so desperately needed by people. They really are. When I go to my local place in town here, even though we're all lined up outside and, you know, we can only go into the store two at a time, I see the happiness and I see the joy that everybody gets to buy something special, get something special, a good loaf of bread, a good pastry, a donut, whatever it happens to be. And it's a happy place for folks. And so you're doing that. You're doing that at your bakery, and I'm glad that you are. Please keep doing what you're doing. Work hard, but not too hard this week. Take a break. Take a look. Take a look at your bakery. Let's set the plan for 2021. Let's knock it out of the park this year. Okay? Love hearing from you. Send me an email, mark@riseuppod.com, or head over to bakers4bakers.org. And join the forums there. Would love to see you there as well. Until next week, keep going, keep baking, stay healthy, stay safe. Happy baking. Bye-bye.